Thank you for joining us on our Living Word Christian Center podcast. You're about to listen to one of our guest speakers. Open up your hearts and get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
In the back. I'm so sorry. Just got caught up in worship. Amen. A message is in the Bible, if you're, in case you're wondering. Amen. How you guys doing tonight? Amen. I'm excited. You know what? I just literally flew in from Texas. I was at the conference. Woo! Texas is in the house. Amen. Well, I say that because I feel like I'm a Texan now, you know. I was eating like them. We were doing everything. We had worship was like 2 hours long in Texas. You know, we're drenched in sweat, just, you know, all dehydrated, you know, I almost passed out. But God is so good. God is moving in Dallas, Texas, you know, over there in Oak Cliff. Keep Texas in prayer. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Thank you, sir. And God is doing such an awesome work over there, man. It was so awesome just to hang out with all the pastors over there and just to see what God is doing. They're doing exactly what we're doing here. They got men's homes just like us. You know, they're doing a work for God. They're pioneering churches. They're launching out churches, you know. You know, I want you to know that Pastor Ruben's heart is also in Dallas, Texas. And there's a work being done in Dallas, Texas. It's so awesome just to see. And it was so awesome to spend time over there and just to be a part of that. And if you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And the title of my message tonight is Encourage Yourself. Just plain and simple. Nothing deep, nothing crazy. Encourage yourself. Because how many know sometimes as you're pressing, as you're doing something for God, as you're making a stand for Jesus, you know, things are going to come your way and it's not going to be easy. You might have got saved, but there's something more than that. And it's called pressing forward. It's called moving and pursuing the call of God that's on your life. Because how many of you guys know that all of us right here, we have the call of God in our lives? You know, the Bible says that we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation, bringing back a dead, lost world back to Jesus. And I don't know where you might be at tonight, but I want to encourage you tonight with a few words. Let's start out with Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Tell your neighbor, forgetting the past. Tell the other one, you got to forget the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Let's pray tonight, church. Father, I thank you, God, for this opportunity. I thank you for allowing me to be here tonight with my family, God. Father, I pray that you just move by your spirit, God. I pray that walls right now will come down in the name of Jesus. We come in agreement right now as a church, Father God, and we want a touch of heaven. We want you to move in our lives tonight, God. Lord God, I'm going to step aside tonight. I humble myself, God. God, speak to our hearts, God. I pray that you just begin to pour into somebody tonight. I pray, Father God, that you will begin to break any yoke of oppression, any yoke that might be holding people back here tonight, God, from achieving and pursuing their God-given destiny, Father God, because you've called us, my God, out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray, God, that you will help us through the process, my God, of transformation. You will help us, my God, to begin to take back everything that the devil took from us, God. Right now, Father God, I pray that you move in this place, God. I pray that you open up heaven right now and have your way, God, in this place, God. And we love you, Jesus. We love you in this place, God. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Give Jesus praise. Come on. If you're going to clap for Jesus, you better clap like he's right here, right now, because he is. Our God is in the house tonight. The Bible says that where two or more are gathered, that he is in the midst. Come on, Jesus is here right now. Give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. We praise you in this place, God. We give you all the glory, God. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God, have your way in this place tonight, God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I like what Pastor Ruben says. I was born in a fire and I ain't gonna settle for smoke. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God is calling us, church. God is calling us, church. Everybody here has the call of God on their lives. It's no coincidence that you're here tonight. It's no coincidence that you received Jesus into your heart. It was not just so that you could get saved and just sit in a chair and just come to service every Sunday and every Thursday night. It wasn't so that you could begin to put bumper stickers on your car and say, I'm a Christian. But God called you and saved you for a purpose. God put you here tonight under your pastor, an awesome man of God, who's been entrusted with souls and training people up to send them to their destiny. And you guys are arrows. You are arrows. But God has to take you through a process. God has to begin to, and I know we've been hearing it all year about the process of the making of an arrow and how God has to strip some things away from us and how God has to put us in the fire and how God has to begin to scrape off all those bumps and lumps and pull off all those little branches that are hanging off of us before we could begin to be shaped into that arrow that he's called us to be. And there's a process that God wants to take us through, because all of us here are called tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight, and I don't know where you came from, and we all have a story. But one thing I do know is that Jesus Christ saved you for a purpose. He saved you for such a time as this, that we're here and we have a purpose, that we have a calling. And I want you to be encouraged tonight and know that God does have a plan for your life, and that he didn't forget about you. And that whatever God begun in your life, he's going to bring it to completion if you're willing to stick it out, if you're willing to go through the process. I'm homegrown. I came from the men's home. I was in the home for 4 years. Hello. And I thank God for those 4 years. I thank God for what God did in my life in that home. I thank God for all the brothers that rubbed me the wrong way. Amen, men's home. I thank God for every experience I had while I was in that place. Everything had a purpose, I realized. As I began to move forward in the things of God and I would look back, I began to realize what God was doing in my life. And God did a miracle in my life, set me free from a life of drugs and addiction. I don't know what you came from, but one thing that he did in my life that I'll never forget is that he restored peace in my heart. Something that I didn't have, and I know you didn't have either. There's a perfect peace that comes from Jesus, and you can go through a storm and know that he's with you. And that's something that God did in my life, and I'll never forget what he did in my life. But it was in that process, and it wasn't over then. Amen. Then I got married. I came over here like a mountain man, and I found me a bride, and I took her back to Chino Hills. I'm just kidding. But I met Bree, my wife, and she was up here singing. And I remember when I first seen her, and I said, oh, Lord. And I'll leave it at that. The rest is history. And I prayed to God, and God just, you see, you got to fall in love with Jesus. You got to fall in love with Jesus and just, yeah, you're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But what makes a difference is you get back up and you keep going after Jesus. What makes a difference is you begin to turn away. If you fall into some stuff, you turn away and you go back to Jesus. And you learn from it and you keep moving forward. And I thank God I made a decision to follow Jesus, man. And it was when I least expected it, you know, that my wife came into my life and it was all set up, you know, by our pastors. So you know that it's good. Amen. I got the blessing from Pastor Anthony. I called him up. I said, hey, man, I've never done this before, but is it okay if I ask your daughter out? And then, you know, anyways, let's move on. God has a plan for our lives, church. Wherever we find ourselves today in life, we need to understand that we have a God-given destiny. Amen? Amen? And you can't know the whole plan of God that gets you to your destiny. That's why we need faith. But one thing that you do have control over, because you can't have control over what God just brings your way in trials that come up. Amen? Can we all agree on that? That we don't have control over things that happen and things might take place in our lives and we might face some real hard times we don't have control over. But one thing we do have control over is the willingness to press or not to press. You do have that control, whether you're going to press towards God and continue to just pursue God with all your heart, or are you just going to back off and begin to shrink back. That's one thing that you do have control over, church. See, all of us, we have abilities. And with those abilities, we have choices to make. Amen? We all have abilities. All of us. You have some kind of ability in you. Okay? And it's with those abilities that you know, that you shine. And you know, one person might be good at the piano. Another person might be good at managing finances or a business or something. We all have certain abilities. And with those abilities come choices to make. So you can choose to use your abilities to further your own agenda. Amen? Right? I could choose to use my abilities, you know, and to further my own agenda and do my own thing and just, you know, and have things my way. Or we can choose to use our abilities to further God's agenda. Amen? Aren't you glad that you're using your abilities to further God's agenda? That whatever little you have, it doesn't matter how much it is, but you're here tonight and you're here to promote the kingdom of God. You're here to receive a word from God so that you can go out and share with somebody and further the Lord's agenda. Amen? But what are you choosing to do with the abilities that God gave you? I like the attitude of the Apostle Paul. He says he pressed toward the end of the race to where God was calling him. He pressed, he strained. Other translations say he's straining towards it. That he's just moving, you know, pressing through. Because there's going to be adversity, church. Amen? You didn't just get saved and go home and tell everybody you were saved. And they just said, yeah, come on, let's go. You're saved. Let's get you all your materials that you need to get saved. And we'll send you right off. It wasn't like that. I remember when I went into the home and God, you know, did a miracle in my life. There was people trying to break me out of the home like if I was in prison or something. And I said, there ain't no bars here, man. I want to be here. I want God. I'm tired of what I was doing out there. I'm tired of that life. I'm sick and tired of it. I already know what I can do. I already know what, where that road's going to take me. I want God. That's why I'm here. It's not because I'm scared and I'm hiding in the church. You ever got that one? You're scared and you're hiding in the church. You don't want to be responsible. You're hiding in the men's home. No? I got issues in my heart. And I just found out, I just met the God that can change those things and turn everything inside out and begin to transform my life. And I want to stick it out and see what God does in my life. Amen? Paul was not concerned with the values of the world. After he had an encounter with Jesus, he did a 180, and it wasn't even about what he used to be about anymore. It was all about God. It was all about just his appetite was for God. God was first. Reaching people was first because that was God's heart. Preaching the gospel was first because that's what God was telling them to do. Going to these cities where people were so mad at him and just trying to kill him and doing all these things and all in the name of Jesus, all that was first just because he was going after God. He was not concerned about the values of the world. He wasn't concerned if there was going to be money in the bank. He wasn't concerned about all these things that we get so, if he wasn't concerned about how many likes he got on Facebook or he didn't get. He wasn't concerned about his Instagram. He wasn't concerned about having a fancy car because JoJo got a fancy car. He wasn't concerned about all these things about his shoes and you know, if he don't have those shoes then he can't run faster, you know. He wasn't concerned about those things. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go ahead and quit your job and you know, don't be concerned about that because, you know, you got to serve Jesus, you know. No, be a provider for your family. Be a man, be a woman, and take care of your family. But don't be so concerned about what this world system is built up on that you get sucked into it and you forget about God. Paul did not have an identity crisis. He knew who he was. He was somebody in Jesus. Aren't you glad that you know that you're somebody in Jesus? Aren't you glad tonight that you know that you've been called, that you're a son of a living God, and that you're in the right place tonight and everything works together for good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose, and that you know that God's going to provide for you because if he takes care of birds in the air, then how much more will he provide for you? Amen. Do we still believe the word of God here tonight? Come on. I don't know about you, man, but I got to remind myself. I got to remind myself at times and begin to preach to myself. How many guys ever catch yourself preaching to yourself? You better stop thinking like that, fool, and get a hold of God and believe the word of God. And you begin to tell yourself these things that's a lie from the pit of hell. And you begin to preach the word of God that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm a child of the true living God, and all my needs are met. And God loves me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That God has trained me. And I'm an arrow in his quiver. And you begin to preach the word of God to your... Sometimes you just got to get crazy and have church all alone. Amen? I don't know. That's how I shake... I don't know about you guys, but that's how I shake off depression. That's how I shake off all these things that try to pull me down. Stress and all this stuff that we deal with. On a daily basis, amen? You got to get a hold of God and begin to preach the word of God to yourself and believe what he said. This man knew who he was in Christ. He knew he was called, and he did everything in his power, using all his abilities to reach his destiny. And of course, you know, when we think about the Apostle Paul, we think about a pillar, you know. We think about, like, super Christian, amen. Like, oh, man, I could never be like the Apostle Paul, you know. That's that guy. That guy's a god, man, you know. And we think about, like, man, like we can, he's above average, you know. But Paul was just like you and I. Paul was a man just like you and I tonight. You know, he dealt with stuff. He wrote about it. You know, I got things that I struggle with. That those things that I want to do, I don't do. You know, and the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing. You know, who could save me? And so he had problems just like you and I. He had a thorn in the flesh. You know? To this day, I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. I've heard a bunch of weird, you know, stories about it. Some people say he was deformed. You know, he was like a hunchback or something. Or some people say, you know, he actually had something, some kind of sickness, you know. But, you know, it was whatever it was, it kept him in a humble place where he cried out to God. You know? He was just like you and I. He struggled in areas in his life and even suffered harshly while serving God, but yet he was pressing. Regardless of all this stuff that took place in his life, getting shipwrecked and all this stuff, and getting beaten up and being put in prison, being locked up, man, and going through harsh treatment, you know, just for preaching God's word. Despite all that stuff, Paul pressed towards the end of the race. And I believe here tonight that if he can do it, that me and you can do it as well. We can press. We can continue to move off forward and let go of things and cast off all these things that hold us. You got to begin to examine your life, church. Every day you got to search your heart. God, search my heart and begin to evaluate your life. What habit have I picked up that today is beginning to weigh me down? What things have I been picking up, you know, and allowing into my life that are beginning to pull me away from God? Why am I beginning to lose my appetite for God? You know, what is causing me to distance myself from God? What is causing me to have these feelings of man, maybe tonight I shouldn't go to church? What is beginning to creep into my life that's separating me from God? And you got to examine your heart every single day, church. And I'm not up here telling you that's the case in my life, because sometimes, man, I get a rude awakening. Man, you know, you better stop. You know, you better stop heading in that direction, and God will show me, because this is what's going to happen. And if you keep going that way, then if you keep hardening your heart in that area, if you keep entertaining that thought of going after something else rather than going after God, then eventually it's going to take you away from God, and you're going to end up in a place that you don't want to be. So what was it? What was it that he did to keep pressing? Because I'm sure discouragement tried to infect Paul's mind. I'm sure that doubt tried to creep in. I'm sure that depression tried to pin him down. Because those are all the things that we deal with, right? Doubt will try to sneak in sometimes. Nah, I don't believe in that no more. You know, depression will try to come in at times and try to pin you down, try to hold you down. And all these things, discouragement will begin to infect our minds, and now we don't serve like we used to. Now we don't, you know, pray like we used to. We used to seek God with all of our heart. We used to be so sensitive to God, and now there's a wedge. And now you're distancing yourself from people who are helping you in the things of God. You might have someone that's discipling you, and now you're beginning to get away from them. And because there's something that's creeping into your heart, whether it be doubt or depression or unbelief or all these things, or even sin will begin to, you know, if you allow it, it'll come in, and it will only get worse. It will only, if you don't kill the giant when he's a baby, then the baby's just going to grow into that giant. And so, but what was it that he did in order to press? You know, what could he have done? And I want to look at King David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you want to turn there. David. Just write it down and read it later, and I'll do just the rule. David was coming back. The Philistines had rejected David and his men. Long story short, he came home to Ziklag, and he found the place burnt down. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive, and all of the everything, all the spoil, everything was taken. But one thing David did, because they began to come against them and plot against them and say, David, we've been following you. We've been serving God, and you're our leader. And they began to turn on David. They were going to kill David. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. What does this mean? Because, as humans, we're limited. And we could only encourage ourselves so much until we start seeking encouragement somewhere else. David's strength for serving God at times of need didn't come from himself or from others. It came from God. His strength came from God. You might say, well, what does that mean? This means prayer life. This means more than just coming to church and hearing the word. That's all great. But this means seeking God and knowing Him with all of your heart, and knowing that He's your God. And having that place, that time, and knowing that He's with you. I don't know about you, but do you ever feel God throughout the day? And you just got to pull aside and say, God, I can feel you right now. I love you. I love you, God. I know you're with me. You acknowledge God as you walk. As you walk, you acknowledge God as you continue to. And not just that, but you set aside a time where you make a sacrifice and you say, God, this time is for you, and I'm going to seek your face. I just want to worship you. I just want to worship. I don't want to ask you for anything, God, but I just want to seek your face. I just want to know you more, God. I want to know what's in your heart, God. I want to know you more. Encourage yourself in the Lord, church. As we all stand to our feet tonight. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you here tonight. God, I pray.